Welcome to CMO Convo, a podcast where we deep dive into the minds of chief marketing officers from across the globe. Every week, we bring you candid conversations with top CMOs who share their experiences, strategies, and insights into the ever-evolving world of marketing leadership. Join us as we learn from the cream of the crop, uncovering the secrets to their success and the lessons learned along the way.
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo podcast. Today, we have Asaf Rotem, VP of Marketing at Investing.com.
Asaf. Hi, Michal, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, and happy to have you with us. So the topic is what I would love to define as the CMO Survival Guide for 2025. And as we know, many CMOs and marketing leaders find themselves set up for failure due to unrealistic expectations, short-term pressures, and the change of marketing and strategic role. And today we're going to unfold this very, I would even say a bit of a volatile topic and get some really relevant insight from Asaf about how to overcome these challenges. Asaf, I would be happy if you can introduce yourself and share a bit about your background and your journey of becoming VP of Marketing at Investing.com.
Cool. So first, my name is Asaf. I'm from Tel Aviv, Israel, spouse, two kids. I always forget that. So let me just put it, start with that so I don't forget. And I actually started my journey. Well, I spent too many years in the academy, and then I started my career in financial journalism, which has, you know, maybe by coincidence, really set me up for my current role, because in journalism, you have to nail the story and you have to nail the headline. And since I was a financial journalist and I also studied this at uni, I know a little bit about finance and statistics, and those are the things that I really like as well. Mm-hmm. And as I said, by chance, thousands of years afterwards, this is what I do for a living, is selling subscriptions for products that help people invest better. So mm-hmm. while my road has not been linear, and there's been many jumps and plot twists and other things that you don't see as you go through it, I can now kind of tell a coherent story, kind of put it all together in a coherent story. But it didn't feel that way going forward. It's just like, in hindsight, it's always 20/20 vision.
Yeah, and I think that also you've done so many different things also in your career, right? So B2B, B2C, B2B2C. I think that you've pretty much been around the entire, let's say, marketing role that a marketing leader can have. So yeah that's why I also wanted to have you today.
Yeah. I think I'll tell a little personal story. When I was a teenager, my mommy was a kind of a retail entrepreneur, and I was in all of her stores. I was there selling, doing inventory, refunds, all the things that you really hate doing. This is kind of how I started. So everything else in life is much better than that. And I'm grateful for doing other things as well than just kind of hardcore face-to-face sales on how does this jeans look on me. Everything is better than that.
yeah. So you've done all the groundwork.
Correct.
So from your experience, would you mind sharing a bit about the common misconceptions that leaders have today about marketing that often, unfortunately, leads to failure?
Yeah, so I think the biggest single common misconception is that marketing is easy to do and easy to measure. And if we don't do that, then we're not doing it right. And I think a lot of business leaders these days think that because so much of what we do, certainly in startups, is online, then it should be easily measurable. Attribution has already been solved. They also look at different reference circles. So they look at other founders and they ask, why aren't we looking like this, even though they're a completely different business? This puts marketing leaders in constant comparison. That isn't fair, but that's just the way it is. And you have to understand kind of the power dynamics that they're being under, to where you can help there and where you can play a critical role. And if you don't understand this power dynamics of what the founders want, I'll speak mostly about startups and tech, which is what I'm mostly familiar with. But if you don't understand the pressures on them, if you don't understand that for every key hire they make, they are more dependent on you than it's the other way around, then you're setting it up for failure. And I just want to double down on the last thing I said. When you're being hired as a leadership role in a marketing leadership role, in a startup, if you do a poor job and you go home within 1 year, you'll find another job, most likely. But the founder has lost a year, is now under immense pressure of changing things, has less runway, right, and has less money to spend to fix the problem. And that's kind of the things that most founders will not tell you as they're interviewing you, is that you are more important to them than they are for you in your career. Mm-hmm. And that's why you'll be under an immense amount of pressure to deliver quick. And you have to be mindful of this, and you have to be ready to deliver if you want to succeed in that role. And again, this is not for everyone, much like everything in life. Like, you have to have a certain personality, mm-hmm. and you have to be willing to deliver quick wins in order to work on things that are beyond the quick wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you think marketers often fail to align on these efforts with the broader organizational goals? So, as you said, there's a lot of pressure on the founders, but how can a marketeer, especially if that's someone that just joined the team, right? How can they understand the founders better if this is kind of like the key to understand the broader organizational goals?
So I understood this only after not understanding this for a few times. If you haven't kind of went through it a few times and been a founder yourself, it's very difficult to be aware of this. So one, take my advice that you need to be cognizant of this power dynamic. Two, you can ask the founder, what can I do for you beyond selling more subscriptions, right? How can I help with other team members, with other goals that there is no owner for that? What are the other stuff that I can do? Most of them will tell you, just give me, sell subscriptions and that's it, right? Some will tell you also, what's our story? Help me craft the story in a way that resonates better. But starting this conversation is already kind of the setup for a different conversation than why aren't we doing X in that? And I also wanna, and this is, I'm guessing it's going to be a recurring theme for 2025, is you need to broaden the conversation because, and this is important. So if you're listening to this, take notes. If your marketing is only messaging and low-cost visuals, then 100% AI already replaces you. And if your marketing is about creating slides for sales only, right, then AI is already better than you are. And if your marketing is only kind of real-time optimization, which is by default on existing data, right, then AI will soon replace you. But this tool can do plenty of amazing things, including plenty of iterations, understanding, doing things mm-hmm. while we sleep. We need to harness it. We also need to be aware that many founders who come from tech kind of view this as a powerful tool that can replace a lot of salaries and also a lot of mediocrity. So in short, if you only focus on kind of short-term gains for marketing, you're replaceable. And I would add that, quite honestly, you're probably not that good of a marketer. And for me, marketing is, you know, a venture of practical optimism. And that's kind of my way of understanding classic marketing perceptions, or some call them, you know, the long and the short. Another calls it the story and the money. And you have to do both, and you have to talk about both and then deliver both. And if you don't, you're replaceable. You're more replaceable. We're all replaceable, right? There is no like single anyone in the world, including Tim Cook or whoever you want to throw there, that isn't replaceable. Brands outlast people, and today's brands are very powerful, certainly the bigger ones. And if you want to be, if you want to drive impact, if you want to be able to get the political credits for this, then you have to speak about both and deliver on both.
Mm-hmm. So that touches my next question, actually. So often marketing leaders, as you said, are expected to deliver short-term results as quickly as possible, with less emphasis on the longer term, more strategic goals that marketing can contribute or bring to the table. How would you advise handling this type of situation?
So as I mentioned, you need to change your kind of entire approach and conversation with leadership to how marketing impacts current and future revenue and other business goals. So not every business goal is just pure revenue. And in this, by the way, naturally AI has a role in this conversation, and for sure, but so do you as a marketer. And so kind of embrace the changes that are coming, talk about business goals and not optimization. Remind them that in marketing, the more data that we have, the smaller the opportunity. It means we already know how to do this, or at least try this a couple of times so we can put some numbers on it. What I like to do also in my conversation with founders is to kind of tap into common sense with phrases such as, for example, one lever, one owner, right? Like, who owns this? Or why do I want to hire an extra person? Because we're adding another growth lever, and we believe in one lever, one owner. Now, again, this doesn't mean that you get a sign off, you can do whatever you want. It just means it's a different conversation. Mm-hmm. Another few common phrases that I really like, for example, let's go to everyone's favorite. Why is brand awareness even important? So you can argue with plenty of data and stats of why this is important, but you can also ask them, like, who will you take a call from? An unknown caller or OpenAI recruiting, right? If you recognize the name, if you know it, then you're more likely to do an action. Try to bring it down into something that is more personal and more tangible and perhaps more familiar to them from their own lives. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, and this is, I use this especially when we speak about headcount and budgets, is to benchmark marketing impact, which is our nemesis, right? Everything we do, like, how will this impact revenue? Mm-hmm. Try to bring it and benchmark it with other departments. For example, how will this feature impact revenue? We all know, we all work in companies that most of the features have like a 1% adoption, right? But mm-hmm. we're still producing features that aren't needed or wanted or even adopted. Why is another developer important? What's the impact on revenue? You have to kind of reverse the conversation. So not everything is only measuring marketing, right? We want to use the same standards that we do for marketing for all departments. I'm not saying this is easy, and this is not always welcome as a conversation.
That's an interesting point of view, by the way, because I don't think that that's what's happening in reality, but it's something that maybe we can observe.
No, I think, listen, I'll talk from my experience, and it not always been a smooth ride for me as well, and I'm well familiar with some of the challenges and the repercussions of what I'm saying. These conversations can be very hard for the other side, but what I 100%. Do think that they position you personally within the company and among the founders or the leaders in a different way than just a person who generates leads. That's just a person who uses AI to write text. Why do we even need them? We want to move away from that. Naturally, this will also bring anger, and meaning you have to be smart when and how much you can use it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, marketing doesn't get the same leeway that other teams get. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you're in the conversation. There are some basic rules that marketers are traditionally awful in them, which is internal communication, celebrate success, make sure they project it on the big screen on your Black Friday and Cyber Weekend so everybody sees with their eyes what the success is. For example, other things that you do, make sure that people are aware you're there, right? Mm-hmm. You need to foster.
You're talking about internal visibility and not just external visibility. So building
100%.
Your reputation inside the company, so not only the founders know you or like the C-level or senior leadership, but also the team members. They know about marketing, they know about the marketing achievements.
And also send your team members to
100%.
Invest.
No. The idea is invest not to time. Be a poor leader.
Invest the time. I tell them all the time, invest the time in relationships. You need to lean
That's
hard
a great
on product
tip
with
as
requests.
A leader.
Yeah. With requests. You need to tell them, build the relationships, because now it's relatively easy. but mm-hmm. come whatever age two, we will need things done fast, and you will mm-hmm. need to lean on those relationships. So now is the time to invest in those things, and you need yeah. to kind of, as I've said, the short and the long. So the short is or the practical optimism, right? So practicality is we're building the relationship now and trying to get the quick wins, but mm-hmm. we're also building things that we will need to use tomorrow or in 6 months.
In the future, yeah.
And you got to build that foundation today.
100%. I think that that's a great tip. So, Asaf, it sounds also you're a great leader, so not just a marketing persona. I wanted to tap into a topic that you started a bit to touch, which is the whole topic of revenue. So I think that we all agree that we're seeing the rise of revenue as a function, and CROs, which is a bit of a new title or function, starting to take marketing under their units. What are your thoughts on this shift?
I haven't worked really with kind of classic B2B CROs, but I do advise and have friends who work under them. And I will tell, this is my impression of things. You bring a CRO, the company brings, and they expect results. These are expensive people, right? Who need to deliver, and they tend to deliver quickly by, I hate this phrase, I hope there's a better one, but like squeezing the lemon is something that I hear a lot, at least in local startups. I hate this expression because I think, you know, why have one lemon to squeeze where we can grow a lemon tree? But broadly speaking, they will want more from you right now. And this will impact the way you manage your team, and all the expectations are going to be on winning now. Sales will suffer more than you do, but they already live on kind of winning now. That's kind of already what they do best. Mm-hmm. For marketers, if you only focus on winning now, as I've said, you will probably forget that tomorrow is also coming, and you will be left with fewer, with a smaller arsenal tomorrow. Because if you're only focusing right now, you're not building long-term demand generation. You're not building the brand recognition. You're not setting aside some of the budget for creatives and experiments and testing. And what I strongly recommend is, one, to remind the company and the CRO this. Two, and this is, I think, mostly helpful in B2B conversations, break down the goals that you will be assigned, which are going to be ridiculous goals, but try to break them down into what happens tomorrow and what we can do right now and what else we need in order to meet these goals. I've done this with a good friend of mine a year ago. They have a very long sales. For me, it's very long. For B2B and enterprise, it's okay. But like a 1 year sales cycle. We were building the budget. I helped them. That was in September. Their new CRO had targets rising from, you know, in every quarter sequentially. And I was telling them, how do you impact the March quota, where it's a 12-month sales cycle? You have to push back on that and say, like, everything that we're doing right now is only for the following year, or yeah. let's say Q4 of the following year. Once you do that, right, you have to kind of infuse the conversation with some reality. And again, in a constructive way, meaning we can do some tricks that may help shorten the sales cycle, but most of what we're talking about is for next Q4. And by that, you're also giving yourself some time, right? So you don't only do as you're told. I've learned this the hard way when I was at Wix. And in Wix, we had to catch a lot of meteorites. We were there. I was leading e-commerce marketing during COVID. So a lot of meteorites catching.
Right. Yeah.
For good and bad. But I also, what I've learned and what I was working with my team is, how do we catch this meteorite? Not everything that we want, we do exactly as told. Where's our input in this? Like, hey, fine, we can do a little bit of this right now. Let us work so we can, you know, deliver something much better in the next quarter. And this is how you kind of balance these ongoing pressures into something that is more constructive and also more manageable for the team. Because it's, if you only have to catch meteorites and do as you're told, you're not a leader, you're a transmission system, right?
So that's exactly where I'm kind of like leading the question for. What are the implications of the rise of CROs, right? In the world when we still have CMOs, so there might be maybe in the future a bit of a clashing, right? Because then the question from my side, or what I'm very intrigued to understand, if you don't mind sharing, is what will be the role of marketing? Because under revenue team, as you just shared, it's a bit more tactical. It's a bit more about today, the low-hanging fruits, or not even the low-hanging fruit, it's just kind of like, what can we be achieved and done today? While marketing, we know that sometimes it could take up to just six months or 8 months to even start to see actual good marketing results. Will you foresee a clashing around that? What will be the future of marketeers or marketing leaders around that? Any thoughts?
I think they can work together in a, or may have to work together in a constructive way. I think like CROs that don't see the long as well will be out the door, will have the same tenureship as marketing leaders, which is the shortest now among
the shortest CROs, now, I think, right?
But it's not like CROs are there forever. They are very measurable, perhaps more so than marketing. And therefore, you're kind of in the same boat, which is a good thing. It's a good thing to have a common enemy if you want to collaborate with someone. And it's a good thing to have common goals. And it's like one team, one dream. How do we work together? And then like what assignments we can do for short term? Mm-hmm. And how can the CRO help you with a conversation on long-term goals and long-term budgets? Meaning, how do we invest more in things that will help us win in future games? Some of those things are kind of obvious, you know, more events, like in-person events, let's sponsor them. Let's kind of build the plan in a way that is more constructive and kind of it's like, I don't know, half the budget for winning now and half the budget that we have to spend is not for winning now. And much like before, if marketing falls to the conversation of how can I give you one more lead today, or how can we change the messaging on whatever, on the newsletter that we have, you've already lost. You have to move away from that conversation. You have to broaden the conversation and speak about business goals. CROs, right? Is sales our only goal, right? What happens after we sell? Is retention a goal? Who owns retention? Who owns feature adoption? Who owns all these things that matter, I would say, almost as much as getting new customers? And those things are things that are important. Another way is to use marketing metrics that are typically go beyond the sales metrics of like on-site funnel, but into kind of brand recognition, conversations with other leaders, you know, the Gartner reviews, other G2 reviews and other things. There's like plenty of other ways where you can show brand progression and you know, broaden the conversation to beyond here and now. I would also listen, there's also market research and other things that are kind of more advanced, and more startups do not have the budgets or the even the kind of the mental bandwidth for this, but you have to keep bringing to the table, but remain one step away from what you're currently doing. Don't bring like, let's do a rebranding in $2.5 million for a startup that is 1 year alive, right? So this is practical optimism.
I agree. So I wanted to ask you about the do and don'ts, but you've pretty much covered that. So I would love to ask you a bit of an advice on how to future-proof the efforts for aspiring marketing leaders, right? So some people they want to become VPs, they want to become CMOs. Today's landscape, as we said, is very, let's say interesting, much more interesting than I have to say 10 years ago. Any piece of advice that you would like to give them, especially for the new year for 2025?
Yes, one, if you get the chance, do it. Like you'll never know if you're cut out from the right material.
And fail. And if you fail miserably, have fun. Like, don't be afraid of the failure.
It's not fun to fail miserably or fail at all. But I'm just saying, like, what are the alternatives? Not to do it? Mm-hmm. So if you always wanted to be a marketing leader and you have the opportunity, absolutely do it. You'll figure it out. No one knows what they're doing. Keep that in mind, that there are playbooks and you can use whatever. My first line of every playbook is, who's our best competitor? Let's copy what they do. And this is going to be the benchmark for everything that we do, right? We need to look better, and we need to message better, and we need to sell better. But they've already given us everything in their playbook, and this needs to look like this, and now start working. So you don't need to reinvent yourself from zero. People don't like it if I say copy, so I say like draw deep inspiration. But broadly speaking, there's plenty of things that you can incorporate into your next steps in order to hit the ground running. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, not at all. The second thing is play to your strengths. You have to play to your strengths. If you don't do it, it'll be very, very difficult for you to win short term. The third thing is like always broaden the conversation with founders, with your team. Make sure you gain internal and external visibility. Do the work. Like, this is kind of extracurricular work because you only need to generate leads. You only need to sell subscriptions. Fine, but people aren't leads. People aren't subscribers, right? They're people, and you're a very small percentage of their bandwidth. If you're lucky, then you're there. And if you're not lucky, which is the most of us, you're never there, right?
Yeah.
So you've already failed at 99% of people anyways. But for the 1% that do matter, right? Do a good job. Have conversations with customers, right? Listen to sales pitches. Work with sales. Ask them an honest questions. Why aren't we selling more? They will blame you for this. And this is okay because now, you know, they're giving you a lead in what you can change. Ask them, how is this? What can I do better for you, right? Give me better leads. What do you mean by better leads? You have plenty of leads. How are they better? And then, like, you know, deep dive into data, deep dive into everything, and also come up with one company changing play within 3 months. This doesn't mean that this goes into production, but it means, again, you have something to talk about, meaning a new dashboard, right? Let's change the onboarding. It is completely outdated. It doesn't even surface the value, nor can we pull out the events. We need these events because sales are crying about the leads all the time. And the best way for me to qualify the lead is by having a good onboarding process. And that's how you connect operations with sales, with revenue, with quick win. Connect the dots. Those it might be a little bit vague, but like if you do the research, you... things surface really quickly when you speak with people, right?
So if I need to,
There's this joke from years ago, and I hope I'm not offending anyone, that says, how do you know if somebody is vegan? They will tell you within the first 5 minutes.
I love that joke. I love this joke.
Right?
It's
so it's also, why are we not selling more? You will hear it's because of marketing in the first 5 minutes. And then ask them, have a conversation. It's not always an easy conversation, but you will learn more and learn how to fix it, or at least show the effort of fixing it, which is also important because that's visibility.
Yeah.
Marketing doesn't get to sit on the sidelines and rest. They always want to see you jump between the hoops. So understand that and start getting excited about jumping between the hoops and catching meteorites. If you get excited about those things, you'll enjoy marketing leadership.
Good. Thank you. That's a great advice. Like, tons of insights to unfold. So I will let it sink in and process it. Asaf, this has been a great conversation. And I would love to ask you a final question, which is a bit more of a fun question. I always do it in the end of every episode. Do you have any life motto or kind of like even an affirmation that guides you on your journey?
Wow. I'm not sure I'm, at a point that people should take advice from me about life. I would say that I'm by nature a very pessimistic person. Like I always see what could go wrong, right? And over time, I kind of realized that things will go wrong anyways, whether you see them or not, and whether whether you saw it or not is meaningless. The only thing that matters is like, what have you done to prevent it, right? And my approach is always to be prone to action. It is, for the very least, you'll win the hustle game, which is really important. And if you're a little bit lucky, then you will achieve great things by seeing them before other people do. And meeting them with a good business solution for that, and that will give you a lot of credit and probably expedite your process, like the progress of your career. Try to see the bad things if this is in your nature, but also mostly try to prevent them and seize the opportunities that arise from that.
Great. I will let that sink as well. Thank you, Asaf. So thank you for joining us and sharing your insights on these crucial topics. I had a lot of fun today. And to our listeners, I hope this conversation has given you plenty of food for thought on how to overcome today's challenges. Stay tuned for more thought leadership in our next episode. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.